gentlemen, this is the main event.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
And now, coming to you live from the .biz radio network on ProWrestling.biz and presented by Wrestling-News.net, it's Main Event Madness. Madness Unleashed. We are your reaction show. So call 914-803-4532 and use the hashtag MEMLive on Twitter to connect with us during the show. And now, here are your hosts for tonight's show, John Curry, Mark Madison, and Mike Hoff. It is Super Bowl Sunday, February 5th edition of the broadcast, guys. Our second week here, part of the .biz radio network. We thank Greg and DeMarco of ProWrestling.biz for allowing us to keep doing our thing here, part of the .biz radio network. And with me tonight, or today, I should say, is a writer and a columnist for TJRWrestling.net. You can hear him with me each and every week. He is Mike Holland. Brother, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. How are you?
Very aggravated.
Well, I didn't know the answer to that, but...
Yeah, you know, pleasantries and formalities. You know, I know how it goes. But for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, I love spending an hour and a half doing the exact same thing. And that's... Picture a car spinning out on a sheet of ice with flat tires. I don't know if that paints enough of a picture to basically get across the fact that I haven't been able to do anything. And audio issues have become the norm, almost, it seems like, for Main Event Madness. We try to fix that, unfortunately. Not really the easiest thing to fix, but nonetheless, we are here. This is Main Event Madness Radio, and we have a slew of topics to get to. But before I do that, I do want to shill a couple of things for our other compadre that's with us each and every week, Mark Madison. He has a bunch of reads up that you guys can get at TJRWrestling.net, as well as SportsKita and on TheRichest.com. He has an article up there, or I should say a column up there about Dolph Ziggler. And if Ziggler's heel turn opens up the door of opportunity for other superstars, it's a good read, so definitely check that out on TJRWrestling.net. Also, on The Richest, he has 15 things you didn't know about Bayley. That's coming up pretty soon on TheRichest.com. And coming up, or if it's not already, on SportsKita.com, 5 wrestlers who turned their lives around. So it's always good to see especially people in the pro wrestling industry, people nonetheless that are able to bring their lives around and have successful lives. He's got a story about five individuals on there, so definitely check those reads out. TJRWrestling.net, TheRichest.com, and SportsKita.com, which our own Brandon Lasher is also a writer for SportsKita.com, so be on the lookout for his work as well. Had to get the little shilling out of the way.
Good work.
But thank you, sir. We have much more shilling to get to, including your own shilling, and we'll get to that in a little while. But we have a lot to get to, including the news that nobody wanted to see, let alone this soon, and that is Seth Rollins' injury and where that leaves the WWE going into WrestleMania 33. In a moment, we're going to get any final thoughts from the two of us about this year's Royal Rumble match, pay-per-view, etc. We're going to talk about John Cena's 16th world title run, and do we think it's a waste, and they wasted breaking the record. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into some hype for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, including the possibility, if not this year, of 1 year, there being a women's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. And also one thing I want to get into about Kenny Omega, if there's time. So we've got a lot to get to. Use the hashtag MEMLive on Twitter, guys, if you want to connect with us during the show. And we'll be tweeting all throughout, at least I will be, throughout Super Bowl Sunday. Mike, I think, already has his whiskey sour. If he hasn't, after listening to me for the last hour, I am impressed.
I did, yes. Begin consuming during the audio.
Certain things just boggle my mind, and today that was one of them. But nonetheless, let's dive right into this. I mentioned it at the top of that list. Do you have any final thoughts that you weren't able to get across, or that you may have thought about in the last week on the 2017? Royal pay-per-view.
We dug into it pretty good last week, and I would stand by my opinion that I think, Evans brought up before many times on the show that it tends to be a couple good matches and everything else is kind of forgettable, and I think that was the case for the Royal Rumble. I don't think it was a bad show. It was probably too long. Most of the matches were decent, except for maybe the squash. But, you know, from the terms of was it a memorable Rumble itself, not so much for me. I thought it had two great title matches, both of which are worth the price of admission, and in particular the Cena-Styles matches. I'm sure a match of the year candidate already, even though the year is only 2 months in. Once you got past that, you know, it was kind of status quo for me, which has kind of been the trend lately. So I give it a positive review overall because the major matches delivered, but you can count me among the people that was a little bit disappointed with the Rumble match considering the amount of build that it had going in.
Yeah, I mean, they started building it early, too. You know, they started building that, November before even Survivor Series. Goldberg, or right after Survivor Series, Goldberg started hyping it, which was weird because they saw the Roadblock pay-per-view. But, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Cena and AJ was worth the price of admission, I think. That I don't know if they were able to top SummerSlam. You know, I think we talked about that on the post-game show last Sunday. But it was damn good.
Yeah.
And I hope that's not the blow off. I hope, you know, when all things are said and done, we do get to see Cena and AJ go once more. I understand if we don't, especially we don't know how long AJ's in WWE. And it's a weird thing. When you see a guy have chemistry with an opponent, you don't want them to stop wrestling them. But at the same time, you don't want to see him only burn up his his contract facing one guy like Goldberg's going to against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think there are some fresh faces for AJ Styles to go against, Randy Orton being one of them. I know he's talked about how much he wants to face Randy Orton. I'm scared for AJ's sake that he's not going to be booked very good after his title run's been over with. Kind of like Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's understandable cause for concern, but, you know, if that's the case, then I think that tells you all you need to know about WWE right now. I mean, they definitely, considering it's been, what, a year since, AJ debuted in the Rumble, actually, right? That it's been a hell of a year, and I think AJ, as usual, I mean, he's improved on the microphone a bit. I don't think he's ever totally comfortable in the way that WWE likes their main eventers to be, but by no means is he bad, and I think, you know, embracing that heel turn worked out well for him. And he's just put great work on the board. I mean, pretty much consistently since day one. So, you know, if that doesn't earn you, that time in the sun, but I hear your point. I mean, the scuttlebutt is that AJ doesn't really have a WrestleMania opponent lined up. Appears to be, other than possibly Shane McMahon, which, you know, no offense to Shane, but I'm not jumping over anything to get to see that match. So we'll see, but that would be unfortunate.
Well, and that's just it. You know, I get Vince probably looks at it, well, it's my son Shane. Of course it's a good match. But is it, though?
Well, I mean, listen, he'll do his couple of high spots and, you know.
Yeah, lightning struck, no pun intended, to The Undertaker. But they, the Undertaker match that he had, that was lightning strike. It's not going to happen a second time. I'm sorry, but it's not.
Well, listen,
and
look no further than, I mean, look at how Undertaker looked in the Rumble. I mean, it was painful. I love the guy. I mean, and, you know, he should, as I've said, retire on his own terms, but I'm not sure what was going on there. I mean, we heard that he was in pretty good condition, not very good. And again, take it from me, I look worse than that on a normal day, but, you know, the guy's a wrestler. And he didn't move very well in the match. So I would be concerned about, his ability to even be in a match that's going to be lengthy, meaning Undertaker at this point, you know, so it's going to be a tough WrestleMania card. I mean, not to get ahead of ourselves, but, you know, there's a couple matches in there, rumored matches, that should be very good. But I think it's a tough year for them. I don't know that they're going to have that, that appeal that they've had in years prior, with the exception of the Lesnar-Goldberg. And, you know, even that is probably a little reduced because of the way they've kind of booked that feud.
Isn't it funny? A year ago, everybody's talking about how bad WrestleMania is going to be because of the roster. And now, even with Seth's injury, we're going to touch on that in a moment, they still have a full roster. And nobody's still excited for WrestleMania. If that doesn't show Vince how bad the booking is, you know, I don't know what does. Because with the talent that is healthy right now on the main roster, there is no reason why you can't do a better card at WrestleMania than what we're going to get. But switching gears a little bit, the rumored match for John Cena, I think that's a testament to the kind of guy he is. But at a personal level, it sucks for somebody like me who's been clamoring for years to see a John Cena versus The Undertaker match. And if the story is true that he passed on that match for Nikki Bella, then does that speak volumes for John Cena, the person, that he gave up a fantasy match to appease the woman in his life and let her go out in a good way? Or is that just being foolish and you should strike the pan while it's hot?
Well, I mean, you know, I have no interest in seeing Nikki Bella and John Cena wrestle Maryse and Miz, but I that's just me. I mean, I'm not a big fan of mixed tags in general, but for that card, I mean, look, let's face it, Miz and Maryse, again, like we just talked about AJ Styles, they've had a hell of a year. So if they book that feud properly, I'm sure they could do something with it and make it entertaining. But, I mean, if you're asking me, I would want to see Cena wrestle the best wrestler. That's, you know, he's capable of giving a five-star performance. I want him booked against somebody that can deliver. Whether that's Undertaker is, I guess, as we were just talking about, another story. I mean, historically, yes. Currently, doubtful. So I mean, if I had my druthers, I'd much rather have Cena taken on Samoa Joe or, you know, Nakamura or any of those guys. But I give him credit, sure. If this is how it's going to go and he wants to do it for Nikki and they're going to do possibly like the proposal angle or bring in the Total Divas, I mean, again, you know, it's not my cup of tea, but that's going to appeal to a portion of the crowd that WWE cares about. And you and I both know if they have an opportunity to market something like Total Divas, you know, into a WrestleMania angle, I'm sure they're all excited about that potential.
Yeah, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, it's certainly not worse than any storyline that WWE's put together lately.
True.
And I mean, at least you could try kind of, it looks like the culmination of a Total Divas story. So, I mean, I guess if there's any silver lining.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I mean, again, this is all speculation, but if we go off of the theory that Cena is going to be dropping the belt at Elimination Chamber, you know, at Elimination Chamber, then basically, you know, with Miz being involved in that match, it would make sense that they could do some kind of an angle that way. And so, you know, I mean, look, he's got to wrestle somebody. I think Miz, honestly, I look at it more like those guys. I think Miz and Maryse deserve the opportunity to be in a high-profile match again at WrestleMania. And, you know, so I won't overly criticize it. It would not be the way I would book it, but I mean, we could, you know, do 2 hours on things that I would do differently than, you know, what they tend to do. And I think it would be the same for you, John.
Absolutely. And now that brings me to my point. You mentioned John Cena losing the WWE Championship. All the hoopla and all the hurrah, which evidently was reportedly reduced because they had it substantially more than what they were going to, or they had it planned to be more than it was. Did they waste Cena breaking the record?
Well, I mean, my short answer is yes. I don't really understand the whole thing. I mean, I'm kind of confused by the fact that they sort of walked it back. It's like they did it and changed the belt. I mean, AJ could have just as easily have lost it in the Elimination Chamber. And honestly, he could have lost it with, you know, easily in Elimination Chamber, and they could have put it on another heel. Because of the, you know, without turning AJ, because of that match. So I thought it was very puzzling. I mean, maybe they, again, have something going on that I don't know, but it makes no sense to me. I mean, you know, having Cena win the match is fine. Having him win the belt is fine, in theory. But to not make a big deal out of it after they did all the way up to it, and then the story kind of being like, well, they're aware that if they're just going to take the title off him again, it's going to be a cheesy title reign. I mean, look, many of Ric Flair's title reigns were like that. You know, historically, plenty of champions get win a belt and then, you know, lose it again 2 weeks later. So I don't understand it. I think there must be more going on, or it's just extremely poor planning on their part.
Which wouldn't entirely surprise me if it was poor planning. Considering this is the WWE we're talking about here. But, I mean, I get even the transitional reign, you know, they consider, to, for those who don't know, transitional champions to be somebody for like a month, 2 months, 2 months. But really? Like 2 weeks? That right there, I had mentioned on the post-game show, I think I mentioned like Cena being a 20-time champion. It was either on here or was, talking to a friend of mine. If that's what they're going to do when Cena wins his 16th world title run, then yes, Cena will be a 20-time world champion. And I don't even have a doubt in that.
Yeah, well, I think that's right. But, I mean, the point kind of is that, you know, he would get there anyway. I mean, I don't think anybody feels like he's going to be hanging it up anytime soon, and he's a huge draw for them. So, you know, this feud with AJ, Cena has lost a couple times clean in that feud. You're not going to book him to lose because they've never done that. He's the hero, and so, you know, he has to come out smelling like a rose at the end of the day. But my bigger question, like I said, is not even so much the decision to give him the belt. If he has a short title reign, who cares? I just think that, you know, they should have made a bigger deal out of it. They had Flair there to do it, and then apparently, again, you know, it's all speculation, but they ended up filming some, like, small backstage thing. They didn't really dwell on Cena tying him, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense. So there's either more to the story going on, or, as you said, it's just, again, an example of them kind of switching gears. And I'll be very intrigued to spin that off into something else to see if it's related to what Vince does or doesn't do with Roman Reigns. I mean, basically, he booked Reigns as a heel in the Rumble to some degree. Orton, of course, is a bad guy and got cheered for throwing Roman Reigns out, who's a good guy. So, again, if you're keeping score, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, when they book him against Undertaker, which you would expect them to do, I don't see any way that they can do that match without turning Roman full heel, but it could happen. I mean, Vince could still have Roman be a good guy, you know, so these are the kind of corners that he sort of paints himself into with some of the decision-making, and I don't know if it's just different people backstage, you know, throwing different stuff out there, but it seems like there's just a lot of times where they start going down a road, and then they sort of do a U-turn in the middle, and you're like, huh?
Well, that's just that. Like, Vince's big philosophy of, well, there's no such thing as a good guy, and there's no such thing as a bad guy. Well,
yeah,
sometimes there needs to be. And this is a case of that. But I don't know. I don't like that Cena's world title run is being exhausted in 2 weeks. I feel like he could have ran to Mania with that belt. Although Cena losing the belt to Bray Wyatt, that's one of my favorite current stars. So to see him finally take the throne as the WWE champion, even if it is only for 6 weeks before Randy Orton beats him.
Yeah.
Which, not for nothing, I know Randy's not as old as Cena, as Randy's, I think, like 36, 35, which that's shocking to think about in and of itself, how long he's been around.
True.
But does anybody want to see him beat Bray Wyatt for the belt?
Well, the thing is, the Wyatt-Orton thing, at least, has been kind of slow-burn storytelling with Orton infiltrating,
true,
you know, the Wyatt family and playing the mind games with him. And WWE doesn't do enough of that. So I think if you're really into the story part of it and you're not a casual viewer, that part, you know, the backstory makes that, I think, a better match. And both of those guys, I'm with you 100%. I mean, Bray Wyatt has been one of the best characters, you know, brought up from NXT and has never really gotten huge time in the sun, despite, you know, delivering and being pretty physical and staying relatively healthy. So this really, to me, is the springboard of trying to make Orton the guy that's going to carry the mail while John Cena is, you know, filming shows and movies. And that's a position that Orton is, you know, certainly suited for. But, you know, I kind of feel similar to NXT that depending on what Cena's schedule is, they're really going to have to look at who the, you know, the other big good guy on the brand is going to be. Because unless they're flipping AJ again, nobody's leaping off the page at me. And then, of course, you know, they've got guys they could bring up. But, you know, to your point, John, look, it's a loaded roster right now. They have a lot of talent. They're bringing in guys that are very good from other places as well. And you can't fit everybody in. And I also think they've had a run of tough luck. I mean, like you brought up the Seth Rollins injury. You know, you wait all this time to have Samoa Joe debut. And then, you know, something unpredictable happens, and now you sort of have to shuffle the deck because of an injury. So between Finn and everything else, it's been tough for them, I have to say. Not their fault, but yeah, that also makes it, I think, a little hard to just kind of switch gears on the fly.
Yeah, let's talk about that. For those of you who don't know, and I'm pretty sure if you're listening to an online podcast, you do know, but that's our job to tell you. Seth Rollins injured. What's the talk now? 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Which would put him right at WrestleMania returning. Let me just ask you point blank. Will Seth Rollins be at WrestleMania? I say yes.
I agree with you. And you're saying wrestle or just be there? That's a little harder, but if I was betting, I would say you're probably right. I think he'll be healthy enough to at least wrestle in some capacity. I'll put it that way.
I don't know. I'm worried for Samoa Joe that he's going to get a bunch of crap that's not fair to him, but he'll get a bunch of crap towards him that he's dangerous in the ring and this and that. Accidents happen.
You mean all the stuff that Bret Hart said about Rollins?
Basically. In a nutshell, basically. But I don't know. I'm just worried for Samoa Joe that he's going to get that reputation. He already had it and then lost it when Tyson Kidd got hurt. But I don't know, where does that put you for WrestleMania? Because if Seth can't compete, and I know Seth's going to try like hell, but I mean, if you're WWE, surely by Fastlane, by the time Fastlane's come and gone, you'd have to have some kind of plan.
Yeah,
you know, I guess you could say you could have a contingency plan and this and that, but you can't rely on a what if for the biggest show of the year, because Rock's not wrestling, so you can't pull that rabbit out of your hat this year.
I agree. I'm spitballing, but one option is you could have you know, somebody else get involved on Rollins's behalf, you know, but to that degree, it's not like somebody jumps right off the page. So it is kind of a tough situation because that match was set up to happen for sure. And, you know, there's a big moment for Samoa Joe. And, you know, I think people are really excited. Certainly people that have been watching NXT or are familiar with him even before NXT are excited to see him go up against some of the bigger names. So, I mean, you could easily find somebody to just put him into a match with, but from a storyline standpoint, you know, I have to say, I'm a little tired of like the hired guns for Triple H thing. I mean, you know, they're sort of doing this thing where they're making it clear that Triple H is running NXT, which, you know, he is truly doing. They're sort of bringing that into the storyline. And I thought that was a little weird, too, how Rollins showed up at TakeOver and, you know, basically called out Triple H and they did this angle. And then Rollins nor Triple H were at the Rumble itself, you know, at least on camera. So I would prefer that they bring Samoa Joe in on his own because I think he's got a unique look and a unique ability in the ring. But now it's kind of like he's just another henchman for, you know, Triple H and Stephanie, and I think that kind of reduces them a little bit.
What has killed me, and I've said this multiple times on the show, especially since I've started doing this, in the 3 years almost that we've been doing this, what kills me about the whole authority angle and Triple H and Stephanie is, and especially Stephanie, who's there every week, you know what made Vince McMahon great? As the evil bastard owner of the WWF, he got his. He got his ass handed to him all the time. And when he was as ruthless and as evil as he could be, he got his ass kicked. And nobody has, and I'm not encouraging man-on-woman violence, but nobody has, okay, she got speared once by Roman and pushed once by Randy.
Right.
Like, in 5 years almost of doing this freaking angle, that's where, like, the payoff has been. There is no payoff to the authority. They lost the match at Survivor Series because of Sting, and they're gone. And then what happens? Triple H becomes champion. Okay, I could argue Triple H losing the belt as a little bit of a payoff.
Sure.
I could argue that, but for Stephanie, nothing. Like, you can't even, she had the little exchanges with Sasha Banks, and where's the payoff to it? Nothing. She just walks, her character is to walk around and be this ruthless bitch. And there's no payoff to it. And that's what kills me, and that's what's scaring me about Seth Rollins, is that we all think there's going to be this payoff with him and Triple H. No, Triple H, you know, I saw this picture on Facebook and I thought it was hilarious. He wins, loses at WrestleMania. And what happened? Let's see. Let's look at his WrestleMania last. He lost to Roman. He beat Sting. He lost to Bryan. He beat, who the hell did he beat before that? He beat Brock and he lost to the Undertaker. So he lost, he won, he lost, he won, he lost. Well, what does that trend tell you?
Yeah, well, I mean, look.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think, you know, you're hitting on something that applies to Shane and Stephanie, and really this whole angle of sort of this convoluted thing where Vince was going to pick one and pick them both. And then, you know, added Brian and Foley into the mix. It just seems week to week, like they're not quite sure what they want to do. And as far as Stephanie goes, what fascinates me is, I mean, listen, I think she is a very good heel character on her own. And I think that, you know, people kind of want to boo her, and she, much like Vince, is more than happy to take on that role. But she occupies a really important position for WWE, because I think with the women's wrestling and all of that, you know, she is involved in that, has been a proponent of that, has done it. And I think it's hard sometimes, you know, as a wrestling fan, we want it to make sense from a wrestling standpoint, from a business standpoint. It just seems kind of silly to me to have her as this, like, evil character that goes out and says to, like, Bailey, you suck, or Sasha Banks, you're injured too much. And you're just like, where is this coming from? Like, is this, you know, the writing?
He's trying too hard to be her father.
Right, well, yeah, maybe that's it. And I think, you know, listen, the other thing you said, which really struck a nerve with me, and I agree with you, is Vince, of course, got his, and he got it from everybody. I mean, you think of all the grudge matches. He fought Shawn. He fought Brett. He fought Undertaker. I mean, and you would think, okay, well, Vince is old. I mean, he has no chance of these matches. And people were so entertained by the fact that he would do whatever, you know, to get it over and to make it work. And part of the reason it was so successful with him in that role is that the person opposing him had lightning in a bottle. I mean, you know, Steve Austin was able to energize the crowd and get people to be salivating over the opportunity to watch him, you know, take care of Vince. And I think, again, unfortunately for Seth Rollins, it's no fault of him as a worker, but when they, you know, did that turn with him, they've just not done him many favors in this thing where he's, you know, trying to get a hold of Triple H. And again, I mean, look, I understand that we're wrestling fans and so we should treat logic lightly, but I'm a little bit confused as to how you're going everywhere and calling the guy out, and then when he comes out and does an interview on Raw the next night, you're nowhere to be found until the part where you get summoned to the ring. Shouldn't he be, like, launching himself over the guardrail, attacking Triple H and, you know, all of that? Like, it just, it doesn't make sense. You got to go in for a penny, in for a pound.
And exactly, and it's just, I don't know. Part of me understands, looking back at this, that, okay, I know why I got burnt out watching wrestling, and it's just the lack of logic. That has been WWE's Achilles heel for ages, it seems like now. And
yeah,
Vince McMahon has been such a convincing character to in his stories that, like, what his last big feud, what would you think that would be? Like DX?
Probably.
I mean, people actually thought that he would beat them.
Right.
Because they had it so convincing, so compelling, people actually thought Vince was going to win and DX was going to lose. Although I hope one day when I get married, if I can have one perk from my potential future father-in-law, one perk. I want to be able to shove my potential future father-in-law's head up a 500-pound man's ass. Because not only do you get his job, not only do you get your father-in-law's job, but you get to shove his head up a longtime coworker's ass. Like, how do you? I feel so like accomplished in life, if that was me. Like, how was Thanksgiving? That's what I want to know. But I don't know. So at the end of the day, WWE is kind of fucked, but kind of not fucked when it comes to Rollins being injured. I think they're fucked in the sense that if they actually decided they knew what they wanted to do, that they wouldn't be able to do it. But then again, they probably don't know what they want to do, so they're not going to be able to do what they want to do.
Well, it's also, I think, to your point, like, and this is a creative decision. I mean, the Lesnar thing is, you know, availability. But it's a little weird when you have this feud and, you know, Vince and Austin were on TV every week. and Vince was doing little things to try to, you know, putting Austin in this type of match and that type of match and, you know, all of that, where Rollins is, you know, showing up every week saying, where's Triple H? And then, you know, Stephanie's coming out and they're exchanging barbs with each other. And that's the extent of it. So, you know, are people going to be in a fever pitch to see Triple H get his just desserts from Seth Rollins? Like, not really, unless you spend more time on it. I mean, you know, the idea of him coming out and anointing Kevin Owens as the next champ is just dropped completely. Like, he should be involved in this feud, and they have him with Jericho, and they're doing something else now. So it's not that complicated, you know, when you're telling these stories. It's just like, if you're going to invest time in it, I think as a viewer, the matches that you're really going to want to see, where it may not matter how good they are because the emotion is there. I mean, surely Triple H and Rollins would have a better match than Vince McMahon and anyone. But it's funny when you look back at it, you know, similar to what you said about Shane and Undertaker, it may not matter how good the combatants are if the backstory is good enough that you feel the emotion of that. And then you remember it as being a really good match, even if it was not that great.
Absolutely. And it feels like an afterthought of the thought of Triple H stabbing Seth in the back. And it's a feud that should have been done at Survivor Series, not WrestleMania.
Exactly. Or at least advanced at Survivor Series.
Exactly. At least advanced. And it's a build that started way too early. You know, the only long-term feud that WWE got away with, and it's because of the fact that he was a part-time at best, was The Rock and Cena.
Yeah.
And even that, they periodically advanced the feud.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I would argue that the feud of last year in the WWE was Daniel Bryan against The Miz. And that's a feud which involved no wrestling because Bryan is, you know, retired or semi-retired or whatever you want to believe. But the point is, they can use all of the different channels that they have to tell that story. So, you know, my argument is not that Seth went to NXT and that's bad. In fact, I think it makes a lot of sense to have NXT involved in the angles, you know, to get viewership for both. But then you do this gimmick, you do this thing where, you know, okay, security drags him away, and then you don't even address it at the pay-per-view that's 5 hours long the very next day. Most, you know, like in the same building or across the street. So it just, you know, we don't have to get into logic to a degree that we're never going to see. But I just, that kind of stuff really boggles my mind. And truly, the person who suffers in that is Rollins. And I think, much like your point with Samoa Joe, I just think it's unfortunate. Rollins was super hot as a heel champ. He did a great job. You know, fans hated him because of the breakup of the Shield, which was smart because they really liked that group. And then since then, he's just been stuck in between, where he comes out and says some things that the fans like, but they can't fully get behind him because he doesn't really act like a good guy. And so it just, again, he's been stuck in neutral, and they need to fix it. So maybe, you know, this time off, they can figure out a way to rejuvenate it, approach it from a different way. But I'm with you. I mean, I'm not holding my breath.
I don't have much hope. But you do look at where Seth is, and then you just got to think, the fact that he's gotten as over as he is as a babyface, with literally no support. Like, that's, or at least support creatively, that's the part that's mind-blowing.
Yeah. Well, they've definitely done him no favors, to your point, with, like, the Sparkle Crotch promos. You know, like, much like Gallows and Anderson, you know, whichever Delta House members are writing the you know, references for the talent, Like, it's kind of tough. It's got to be tough for him to go out there and say that stuff and not have a part of him die inside just a little. So I have to agree with you on that one.
All right, so let's switch gears here a little bit. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be wrapping up here in a few minutes. But before we go, I'm going to shill a little bit more. We got Elimination Chamber predictions to come up, and we'll compare those to the results on our post-game show this Sunday. We got a lot more to get to in the next 20 minutes or so. Right here, Main Event Madness Radio, guys. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these words. All right. Wrestling podcasts are a dime a dozen these days. But you want a show that you can feel is yours, and a show you can react on and react with. Well, ask and you shall receive. Main Event Madness is now your reaction show, as we're live after every pay-per-view at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, blogtalkradio.com/prowrestling.biz and wrestling-news.net are the places to be, as we have new episodes every Sunday. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Main Event Madness. Madness Unleashed. A prowrestling.biz radio network production. We here at Main Event Madness pride ourselves on being able to connect with all of you during the show and, more importantly, after the show. And you want more ways to do it? No problem. Facebook.com/Main Event Madness is the official Facebook page of Main Event Madness, and it's loaded with columns, news, opinions, as well as upcoming guests, showtimes, and more. Check us out and give us a like today. Facebook.com/Main Event Madness. So you're a wrestling fan, and you want news, and you love hearing about different shows. No problem. Wrestling-news.net has you covered with news on all of your favorite promotions, including exclusives you won't find anywhere else. Also, Wayne Daly has you covered with results from shows almost anywhere in the globe. Check him out today, wrestling-news.net.
CrewRoundtable.com is the place to find discussion and analysis on all the hot news topics taking place in the Greater Toronto Area. Join CrewRoundtable.com for fun and entertaining talk on news, current events, and listener-suggested topics. Unlike mainstream media, CrewRoundtable.com gives you all sides to the story so you can make up your own mind. Visit CrewRoundtable.com.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the Lord. Oh, man, he's putting in to my running, and I'm so far from my home. Oh, mama, I can hear you crying, you're so scared and all alone. Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have every
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, Main Event Madness Radio, Super Bowl Sunday edition of the broadcast. So thank you guys for tuning in, wherever you guys are, on demand, or if you are tuning in live, we do appreciate that as well. And before we go any further, Booking the Territory wants you guys to know that Booking the Territory is the pro wrestling podcast, where pro wrestling's past meets pro wrestling's present. The language is strong, but the banner is better. Booking the Territory drops two shows per week. The Thursday show covers all things classic wrestling and our weekly classic top five discussions. The Sunday show drops every Sunday night and is completely dedicated to walking through each and every episode of Jim Cornette's Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You can subscribe on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, or wherever you get your podcasts from. A direct link for all you guys' shows. For all their shows, if you guys want to check them out, that's MikeMills.com. mikemills.podbean.com. That is mikemills.podbean.com, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. That's booking the territory. Where pro wrestling's past meets pro wrestling's present, booking the territory at Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. So, moving on from that, want to get some, predictions, and that is Renegade, the song you guys are listening to in the background. That is Renegade, the new single from the band Shallow Side. You guys can check them out, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, at Shallow Side Band. Check them out. They're a great up-and-coming rock band, and we thank them for allowing us to use Renegade as one of the theme songs, or as the theme song for Main Event Madness. Having said that, as I had mentioned, Elimination Chamber this Sunday. Are you excited?
Well, I think I told you last week my feelings about Elimination Chamber, so that would be a no. I think it's a really lame-ass gimmick match, but that's not to say there won't be any good wrestling on the card, so I'm not going to get too negative, but no.
I mean, it was a good concept at the time, but it kind of reflects on WCW looking back at it. I'm curious where, more curious about SmackDown than I am Raw. I've enjoyed SmackDown a lot more than Raw since the brand split, and that's been the consensus amongst a lot of wrestling fans. But I'm very curious to see where the SmackDown brand goes. For their women's championship, you know, there was a lot of talk, and they're not going to do it, but there's a lot of talk about a women's Elimination Chamber match. But that's not in the card. Sorry about that. And Alexa Bliss is defending against Naomi. I don't think that's really a question. I think you and I both agreed that Alexa Bliss is going to retain over Naomi. It's a very small card. A tag team turmoil match. Personally, this should be inside the chamber since they're using it, but they're not. American Alpha defending the titles against the Usos, the Ascension, the Vaudevillains, and Breezango. Was that five teams? One, two, three, four, five. Yeah. All right. Well, that's different. Six teams. It's Slater and Rhino. Oh, God. Is that going to be where there's six teams around the ring at the same time? If so, that's just fucking stupid.
Yeah. Supposedly, they've been doing that at house shows, some version of that match. But, I mean, listen, you brought up off-air about the bright side of stuff, so at least American Alpha gets on the card, you know?
That's true.
You might have forgotten that they were the champions if you watched the Royal Rumble, because they weren't even able to get into that on the card or in the match. So that should take up a big chunk of time. I mean, I would imagine that's going to be a long match. But, you know, to your point about Bliss retaining, I mean, do we really see American Alpha losing the belts to any of those teams at this point? I don't.
I'd love to see a shocker of the Ascension.
Well, sure.
Just because they've been up for a couple of years now and they haven't done anything with them, I wouldn't mind seeing that. That's just me.
Well, that's,
but,
yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, listen, you know, I think that's another one of those matches where you're kind of just hoping that it's semi-watchable. I mean, it's not going to be a bad match, but the excitement level's not really there because they haven't done much to get you excited about it. Yeah, none of those teams jump off the page to me as, hey, they're going to take the belt. So we'll see.
Well, and then they got Nikki Bella versus Natalya. Okay. That I understand. That has actually been some long-term booking for women. So congratulations to them. Nikki Bella wins, especially if she's, then I got out on that she could lose and put Natalya over for the last time if this is her second to last pay-per-view match. And then you got the main event. That's it. And I guess for the tag team turmoil, WWE changed it in the last few years so that there's two teams starting and one. It's basically a tag team gauntlet match.
Right.
But nonetheless, the match that people are, I think the only match that people really care about at this pay-per-view is the WWE title Elimination Chamber, which those have tended to go, you know, I'm going to look them up right now. They have been longer matches.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, I would say that's going to be probably between a half hour and maybe 40 minutes would be my estimate.
Oh, they don't have the time limits on here anymore. They used to. But, yeah, they used to go half hour, 45 minutes. Sometimes I don't think they've ever gone an hour.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it'll go quite that long. But I also think, like we were talking about, I think that tag team match, just the logistics of that, the amount of people involved, that's probably another half hour right there. So it will be a smaller card, but they're definitely going to have some longer matches on it. And, you know, like you had said, I mean, that's part of what has made SmackDown superior since the split, is I think they've done a better job of exactly that, kind of doing more with less people.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at some of these. They have weird times. The first ever Elimination Chamber in 2003 went, or 2002, whenever it was 39 minutes and 20 seconds. The next one was 19 minutes and 12 seconds. That's the main event right there. So I think that was the one where Triple H was hurt, if I'm not mistaken. So that probably explains why.
Makes sense,
Then the next one in 05 was 35 minutes. 28 minutes when Cena, before Edge cashed in and began the Money in the Bank era. 24 minutes at ECW. So, yeah, pretty much 23 minutes. And that was one of my favorite 2008, 2009. Those were some of my favorite chamber matches. Not so much because of the match itself or, like, the gimmick of the match, but because of the stories going into it, between especially 2009, like Edge stole the show.
Definitely.
Without question, stole the show in 2009. Losing the WWE Championship only to go steal the World Heavyweight Championship, that was great. And I'm just looking at these for shits and giggles. 35 minutes, 29 minutes at 09. Let's see. Now that I've gotten this far, I've got to look at a little bit more. Half hour and 35 minutes. 31 minutes and 33 minutes. So about a half hour. The general.
Look at that. Look at that. I was right on point.
32 minutes, 34 minutes. So, all right. So, who wins?
Well, I mean, you said earlier there's no reason to think differently. It would seem with Orton winning the Rumble that they're going to set up Bray Wyatt to win that so that they can then, you know, have the destruction of the Wyatt family.
Once and for all.
Well,
so, I agree. Yeah. I think Bray Wyatt, which is a horrible idea. It's been a horrible idea the 18 times they've tried this. But I think Bray Wyatt wins and walks out the WWE champion. Finally, we finally get the coronation of Bray Wyatt as the new face of the WWE, at least on the SmackDown brand. But now, before we get ready to wrap up, I do want to give you a couple of minutes to promote anything that you may have coming out or had come out this week or anything you want to promote. So the next few minutes are yours.
Well, I appreciate it, John. I don't need that long, but I would tell everybody that you can check out on tgrwrestling.net, or you can go to, as I mentioned last week, raja.com, and you can check out my, it is about the Royal Rumble. I decided to kind of do a little bit of a different recap. So I did basically 10 in honor of Ty Dillinger and his debut. I did 10 burning questions and their answers coming out of the Rumble. And some of it's tongue-in-cheek, as my answers tend to be. But much of it is, you know, just speculation about what they got right, what they got wrong, what they missed out on, you know, what the best match was, which we've already talked about. That was kind of a slam dunk. But just if you did watch the Rumble, if you didn't see all of it, if you're interested in kind of getting an opinionated take on it, you can catch it at either of those places. And I should have something new coming out on Tuesday. I have a couple different things in the works, so I don't know which I'm going to post Tuesday, but Tuesday tends to be the day that I go with it. So I'd encourage you to go. And as I always say, feel free to comment, leave your thoughts and suggestions. Definitely have gotten a lot of responses since kind of putting that on both sites, and I do appreciate them. So check it out. And you can also, which I know Mark would be upset if I didn't say it, it is a couple weeks old at this point, but we do have our co-column of our excellent wrestling adventure, which you could also find on TJR Wrestling. And that was really fun to do. We take a lot of the, you know, the current topics in wrestling and sort of give our points of view. We agree some, we disagree some, but we try to make it entertaining. And what's better than an American and a Canadian discussing wrestling? I mean, that's like, you know, with everything that's going on in the world, John, that's what you need, is Americans and Canadians discussing wrestling in a civil manner.
Absolutely. You know, no need for hostility, no need for any of that. And when you can be civilized,
right,
any conversation is better. But
exactly. It's much like our conversations with everything that's going on in the world. You know, you can just enjoy people talking about wrestling and, you know, trying to make sense
exactly
of crazy stuff.
Exactly. And on that note, we are going to get ready to wrap up. I do want to say that we will be back next Sunday at, well, stick to Twitter. Stay tuned to Twitter and Facebook.com/Main Event Madness for the latest times. We're going to play it by ear, depending on what time and how early Elimination Chamber ends. By the looks of this, it looks like it'll be over at like 4:15 in the afternoon. But time will tell. We'll definitely Facebook.com/Main Event Madness, at John MEM Radio, at The Mark Madison, at Darman Rockwell, at WWE BNRL. No wonder why Vince screws up like that. Now I know how he feels. But stay tuned there, and we will have it for you as soon as we figure out when we'll – but we will be back live next Sunday afternoon right after the Elimination Chamber SmackDown pay-per-view. Any final thoughts?
I think you hit the nail on the head. We'll see next week. Hopefully Elimination Chamber will give us some good discussion points. And I would also say this should be an interesting week for their programming. I would expect Raw to be a pretty big deal tomorrow night because they've got to set up, you know, that road to WrestleMania. So hopefully, I mean, this is the exciting time to be a wrestling fan. So, you know, if they can't do it right at this time of year, you know, that's a problem. So I would definitely say to people, there should be a lot of interesting things to talk about coming up this Sunday. So make sure that you don't miss it. Drink your coffee so you can stay up late with John and I.
Absolutely. Especially I'm hitting the road early in the morning on Monday. So.
Oh, that's
even
better.
Oh yeah. Sleep deprivation. I sleep when I get to my destination. But nonetheless, guys.
You know, John, I was going to say one more thing, which is just that I think we may need to do incorporate the show into that gimmick match where, you know, every 2 minutes a pod opens and another co-host comes out.
This is true. But
I don't know what to say to that one.
Okay. Well, listen,
he
I got,
he caught me off guard.
Note.
Exactly. That's the best of him. But on that note, guys, be good, be safe. Lord willing, we'll be back with you guys next Sunday, right after the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Do not go anywhere, guys. And take it easy. Have a good one. Thank you guys for tuning in. Facebook.com/MainEventMadness, Facebook.com/WrestleNewsHub, TGRWrestling.net, PWP Nation, SportsKita.com, TheRichest.com, Wrestling-News.net, some of our affiliates. And of course, do not go anywhere all week. Great quality shows here on the .biz Radio Network. Greg DeMarco and his team are doing a great job, and we thank them again for allowing us to do our thing here on the .biz Radio Network. So stick around for those. And Super Bowl Sunday, go Falcons. Have a good one, everybody. See ya.